Bibles, please, for our second reading to the 16th chapter of the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 16, a very short chapter with a really poignant circumstance that I think is not often handled rightly by commentators. Let's read and then attempt to understand what the Lord would teach us from Joshua chapter 16, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the lot of the children of Joseph fell from Jordan by Jericho unto the water of Jericho on the east to the wilderness that goeth up from Jericho throughout Mount Bethel and goeth out from Bethel to Luz and passeth along unto the borders of Arki to Ataroth and goeth down westward to the coast of Japhleti unto the coast of Beth-horon, the nether, and to Gezer. And the goings out thereof are at the sea. So the children of Joseph, Manasseh, and Ephraim took their inheritance. And the border of the children of Ephraim, according to their families, was thus. Even the border of their inheritance on the east side was Ataroth Adar unto Beth-horon, the upper. And the border went out toward the sea to Michmetah, on the north side, and the border went about eastward unto Ta'anath Shiloh, and passed by it on the east to Janohah. And it went down from Janohah to Ataroth and to Na'arat, and came to Jericho, and went out at Jordan. And the border went out from Tapua westward unto the river Cana, and the goings out thereof were at the sea. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Ephraim by their families. And the separate cities for the children of Ephraim were among the inheritance of the children of Manasseh, all the cities with their villages. And they drave not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day and serve under tribute. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So, what mode are we in here in Joshua 16? We are in the mode of dividing the land unto the people of God after the conquest of Canaan. Now, I want you to understand that while we will read at the end of Joshua chapter 21 that God gave to them all the land that he promised them, and, you know, we still have folks running loose on the landscape that are saying, you know, God didn't fulfill all those promises. Israel's going to have it. They're going to have it, the land again, and they're going to have all of those promises again. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that at the end, by the time we come to the end of the book of Joshua, Joshua will be clear to tell us that God gave to Israel all the land that he had promised them. Now, they had a couple of places of quite a few places where they did not drive out the Canaanites as they should have, but put them under tribute instead. We'll talk a little bit about that in the next chapter. I'll save some of that for the next chapter. But we are dividing the land according to what God had commanded through Moses. And so all of this talk about real estate and coasts and this river and this border and that border, you can get out your maps and you can look at those two northern tribes, the sons of Joseph, and you can see all of that land that the Lord gave them. This is true real estate. This is a true circumstance that took place on a real day in history when the sun went up and came down, a day like any other day. Okay, so the Bible is recording true history here. There are those who would say this is a legendary account and that the accounts of some of the ancient Near Eastern nations don't comport with what the Lord said here in Joshua 16 and 17. Of course, we say, well, what do you think defeated Canaanite nations would say? That the Israelites defeated them, this ragtag bunch of slaves that came out of Egypt that wandered in the wilderness for 40 years? Do you think they would admit that they were defeated by the army of God? No, they didn't admit that. Rather, they told fibs about it in their histories. If we're going to decide between the word of men and the word of God, we know what side we're going to come down on. Okay, so this is true history, These are true places on the map that you can open up to a Bible map book or a Bible atlas. You can identify them. You can see the tracings of those borders. They inhabited those lands. All right, so with all of that said, we want to remember then that God keeps the promises that he makes. He kept those promises even though the children of Israel were, in some sense, faithless. Remember what the Apostle Paul says to Timothy. He says, what? If we are faithless, yet he remaineth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Once the word, beloved, is gone forth out of the mouth of God, it will come to pass. And this chapter reminds us of that. It's a short chapter. That's right. We don't know these place names very, very well. Some of them we have heard of. Some of them perhaps we have not. We can find them on maps so we can show that in this wonderful land that flowed with milk and honey, that God did indeed bring them and he set them down. Remember, the Canaanites were usurpers. The sons of Canaan were relegated to western lands on the continent of Africa. They left that place that God had divided to them, and they ended in the land of Canaan. And so when the Lord says to Abraham and his descendants, I'm going to give you that land where the Canaanites now dwell, that's because the Lord had originally ceded it to them. Okay, with all of that said then, there's this wonderful statement in verse 10. They drave not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day and serve under tribute. Okay, well, that's a really important statement, isn't it? First of all, we see that they did not do what God had commanded them to do. They put them under tribute instead, and we'll talk about what that might mean, Lord willing, later on today. What I want you to understand, though, is if you turn to 1 Corinthians 9, we'll not take the time to turn there, but you can do that if you like, that when we get to 1 Kings chapter 9, what you'll see there is that during the days of Solomon, after his accession to the throne, that Pharaoh, king of Egypt, are you ready, took Gezer and killed all the Canaanites in it. That when the Lord brought the type of Christ, Solomon, to the throne, he also raised up one of the kings of the earth that would have been thought to be an enemy of Israel, but instead he proved to be the friend of Israel and did for Israel what Israel refused to do in the days of Joshua and Judges. And so what is that? That is simply a wonderful statement, a prophetic statement in my opinion, of the reign of Christ, how that even his enemies will be made his friends and do his bidding for him, that the Lord Jesus Christ will be truly the king to which other kings will bow, and they will bend their forces, they will bend their authority, and they will bend their office in service to that King of Kings, Christ. So that's a type then. In Manasseh's day, in Ephraim's day, the Canaanites continued to dwell in Gezer. But in the days of Solomon, they were no longer put under tribute. No, the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, did to the Canaanites what Israel had refused to do in the days of Joshua. Okay? All right, thus ends the reading then of Joshua chapter 16.